It's great to see you this morning. Apologies for the clip. We don't quite know why they didn't work, but as Claire says, we'll see if we can get them back. Anyone who has a computer knows that sometimes they just turn off, don't they? Which is not always great. But we just had a small time of prayer at the back, and now it's working again. So the other thing that we're in at the moment is 21 days of prayer. We've had 2 weeks. We've enjoyed ourselves. It's been good. And one of the things that God said to us very clearly was, ask me first. So what we're finding is that wherever we're at, whatever we're up to, that God is somehow putting in front of us it's not so much a challenge, but it's an invitation that we ask him first in every area of our lives. And this morning, as Claire says, I want to talk for a few minutes about living healthy. The start of each year, there's a lot of talk, isn't there, about living healthy and how we can live healthy. I guess you've heard of a few conversations, perhaps wherever you're at, in families, with friends, about what it means to live healthy and to start healthy at the start of the year. Well, the last couple of weeks we talked about what it means and what it looks like to live healthy. And there's a passage in 1 Thessalonians that talks about, it says this. If you get the words, then they'll catch up. But otherwise, I'm reading out of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and it says this: Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and make your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Hooray. And the Apostle Paul is talking about the three parts of who we are that make up who we are: spirit, soul, and body. And the last few weeks we've talked about the fact that we are complicated, that we are complex. Does everybody agree in this morning in the room that we are, as individuals, we are complicated? True. And we talked about the fact that we're looking to have a healthy spirit, and we talked about what that would look like. We talked about having healthy minds last week and healthy soul and what that would look like. And this morning that leaves us with bodies. Anyone here this morning got a body? That's most of us. And the start of January, isn't it true that people think about what some people have an extra focus on their body? Claire, my wife, you've met this morning, and Lauren, they on the first Monday of the year they decided that they would go swimming. Now, I reckon that the first Monday, whatever the January was, January the 5th or something like that, 4th, something like that, I reckon that probably must be the busiest day for swimming, don't you think? Because we've had Christmas, we've had New Year, we've enjoyed extra gatto, or was that just me? And then it's time, of course, lots of people head out to the different various places, fitness institutions, to go swimming. Also, some of you are observant. This is just a preamble, but some of you who you may have noticed that on your way into the Ashwood Centre there was a big sign, and there's lots of people that meet in the Ashwood Centre as well as Ashwood Church. But now Slimming World also uses the Ashwood Centre for their home, and they had their first meeting of the year on that week as well in January. Again, very popular. They ran two sessions, and I don't know. I wasn't there, so I don't know too much about it, but I know that they needed extra chairs. So it was obviously a popular place to be. But God wants us to be healthy in every area of our lives. God is a good God. And in 3 John chapter 2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So here we can see the link again between our physical health and the health of our soul, if you like. So this week I'm going to think just for a few minutes about healthy bodies. Don't worry, it's not a healthy body campaign or anything like that. But really, just want to take a moment to have a look at what God says about our bodies, and then see how we can respond. So I think we're a few on, Stephen. Quick question for you. If we went out onto the streets today, or we asked everyone here in the Ashwood Centre, what would motivate you towards living physical health? Or in other words, why would we like to have a healthy body? I guess we'd have a number of answers to that question. I won't pause and ask you because it would take too long, but how about these for some reasons why people in this room or on the street might want to have a physically healthy body? What about looking good and feeling good? In our society, in our culture, I think we'd agree there's a strong emphasis and importance placed on looking good and feeling good, isn't there? Or how about this as a motivation? If we are physically healthy, then perhaps we can achieve more. Perhaps we have more energy. Perhaps we can achieve more of our life goals because we are physically fit and we can achieve the things that we would like to achieve. Or maybe another common reason for living healthy, in our society and in culture, there's an emphasis on bodies that wear out too early, aren't there? So how about the third reason maybe being to live longer? And if we said together this morning that there's a way that we could look better, feel better, achieve more and live longer, how many people would say, yeah, I'd like to, I'm up for that? There's a few people nodding. But of course, those motivations, they may be good things to do, but we don't always have the right, maybe the motivations behind them are not always healthy. Sometimes people want to look good or feel good because they feel insecure about the way that God has made them. Or maybe we want to look good because we're comparing ourselves to others. And we need to take a step back and from our society and our culture and ask ourselves what God says through the Bible about our bodies. So very quickly, three things about our bodies that are very clear in Scripture. And the first one is this, and it's really the starting point, and it's that your body or our body is a gift from God. Of course, we know about human reproduction and sexual intercourse and DNA from our parents, but the Bible takes a step back and a broader view that there is a God without whom we would not exist and without whom we wouldn't have bodies. We talked about it last week, but in right at the start of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, when God is creating things, it's really clear that God is intensely interested. If you read that passage, he's intensely interested about details and specifically the details of the human body. He takes the dust or mud from the ground and forms a human body. And it's what we believe. And of course, through human reproduction, God is not just involved in giving us a body, but in designing us the way we are. Did you know that? God designed you the way you are. And in a culture, in our society, where people try and deal with things we can't change. The Bible has a wonderfully liberating perspective. We're all different, but aren't you glad that you have a body? Anyone here this morning is pleased that they have a body? It kind of helps, doesn't it? And it's a gift from God, all different shapes and sizes, hair, no hair or less hair, grey hair, different coloured hair. But our bodies are a gift from God, and therefore we need to personalise it, that we need to appreciate our body. Love the words in Psalm 139, and we mentioned some of this last week as well. It says this: "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Or the Message paraphrase says, "Body and soul, I am marvelously made." Don't you think that's great? So why don't we agree together that next time we're stood in front of the mirror, that we say to ourselves, "You are marvelously made." How about that? Is that part of your normal routine in the morning? Everyone here enjoy looking in the mirror? The favorite part of the day? I know there are some people who stop and pause when you walk past a shop window and you can see reflection. You just stop and pause for a moment and look at your reflection and say, "You are marvelously made." Everybody? Perhaps not. And notice it's not just about, oh yeah, there's a mirror. That's me having a go at that. Has that been up there for a while? I didn't notice it. That's me trying it out and I'm still smiling, look. So obviously it can be possible. But actually this psalm isn't not talking just about aesthetics, is it? Of course not. We're acknowledging and we're recognising how wonderfully and amazingly complicated we are made. And what does this do? Well, actually, if this is true, that we're speaking to ourselves in the mirror, and it's not just a good idea, it's not just some kind of self-help thing. I don't know about you, but this morning when Eric was talking about taking a higher view, one of the things that I hear God saying is, let's make sure that we've got a higher view, first of all, of him, but secondly, of ourselves. Many people deal with, struggle with self-esteem, don't we? And many people spend time wishing that they were somebody else. Well, this morning, let's be clear that we are unique. Don't wish you're someone else. You are made by a wonderful creator. And of course, if we recognize the value that God places on us and our bodies, then of course that means that it follows kind of that we should look after them, doesn't it? But if we don't, it leads to people, and we know sadly that people who don't value their bodies find a way of self-harming and abusing. And our culture is missing something, isn't it? Because we don't see at times that God loves us, he's created us, he's pleased when he made us. You know, I think some of us think that God had a bad day when he created us, but that isn't true. And it's also worth saying it's possible that your parents didn't plan you, but God did. And he wants to and he can deal with some of the inner pain and struggles that we have. So our bodies are a gift from God, and it does matter what we do with them. But the other end of the spectrum, of course, is once we recognise that our bodies are a gift from God, is that we have to be careful that they don't become an idol in our lives. And we know that there are people around, and I'm not one of these people who goes to the gym. Are you? It's not something that really grabs me. I'll do a quick bike ride or something like that, but protein shakes and all that kind of muscle tone, and I mean, I know there's nothing wrong with any of that, but actually, if we're not careful, our motivation, suddenly we find that we're looking at our body and perhaps we are thinking too highly of what our body actually looks like, and if we're not careful, it becomes an idol in our lives. We need to make sure that our motivation for healthiness is also healthy. This is a translation in the Message version of Psalm 147. It's kind of almost amusing, isn't it? It says, he's not impressed with horsepower. The size of our muscles means little to him. Those who fear God get God's attention. They can depend on his strength. So we need to look after our bodies, but not become obsessed with them. So our bodies are a gift from God. Why don't we say that together? My body is a gift from God. A few people I can see who are struggling with that for a moment. But it's true. Your body is a gift from God. So if our body is a gift from God, what's the purpose of our bodies? Well, second thought is that our body is a temple for God. The early church, I think it's the second century, got caught up in something called Gnosticism, which is basically where there was an extra emphasis that was put on spirituality. And of course, spirituality, our spirit life is important. But this concept, this idea, it almost said that the physical world was unimportant, almost evil. But God is interested in every part of our lives. He's interested in our spirit, our soul, and our body. And this idea of an overemphasis on the spiritual side of things and an underemphasis on the physical world and our physical bodies was actually seeping into the church in Corinth. And the Apostle Paul, when he's writing a letter, has to try and correct some of the thinking that was taking place. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And of course, it's true for every single person that God created us and gave us the gift of his body. But actually, when we become a follower of Jesus, when we choose to put him first in our lives, then actually something else happens. And again, we're back on this higher view, because this is what God is saying, that actually our body becomes a temple for God. It's the place where his presence, his spirit, dwells. And the body that we have, the body that gets tired, the body that needs exercise, the body that needs sleep, the same body that needs cake after the meeting this morning as part of the bake-off. Dave tells me that actually cakes that you buy in the course of giving donations and a supporting charity, there's some kind of miraculous thing takes place. They're low-calorie cakes. That's what he tells me. So actually, by eating those cakes, they have a low calorific value. Just be careful that you don't take on board that too much. But if it's true that our body is a temple of God, then it's very difficult to have a low view of what that looks like, isn't it? If the truth is that our bodies are temples or are places where God wants to dwell, where God wants to live, it's difficult then to have a low view of what our body actually looks like and to think bad things about it. And I heard people say that actually if we don't understand the purpose of something, then we can abuse it. And if you look in our society, there's many examples of how that works out. But God has placed a high value and a high purpose on our bodies and who we are. And if God places a high value, then of course we would want to too, wouldn't we? And there's a... Yeah, and so if actually our body is like a house, it's like a temple, then we wouldn't want it to be dilapidated, would it? I think that's why I've got that picture up there. We don't want a house that is run down, do we? We want to have a house that is a good place, that is fit and healthy. There's a great story in the Old Testament, a man called Elijah. And I'd never really thought of this before, but actually this story places the importance of physical well-being to God. Elijah, many of you will know, was a mighty man of God. And there's a really famous story in the Old Testament where he defeats a bunch of evil prophets, 450 prophets, the prophets of Baal. There is a huge barbecue that takes place, and it's a fantastic thing. There's a huge spiritual battle. Elijah, the man of God, total confidence in God, and he takes on these 450 prophets, and it's a great story. But then straight after, wicked King Jezebel sends a word of intimidation over him, and it's a word of fear that's crippling. He's under spiritual attack and his mind's under attack. And some Bible experts say that actually it was a time of spiritual and almost mental breakdown for Elijah. Maybe even depression, some people would say. The angel of God comes to him. So his spirit and his soul is under attack. And the first thing he does, it tells us in this story, that the angel of God, what happens? He fixes a meal for him. And I don't know about you, but in that story, I'm kind of expecting that in all the circumstances, the situation that Elijah finds himself in, that he's going to deal with the spiritual battle, that he's going to deal with the issues in his mind. He's got this word of fear over him. But actually, what happens is the angel sits him down and gives him a meal. And sometimes, maybe it's the case for us, that we find ourselves in positions where we feel like we're under attack or we're struggling. And we talked about this before, of a spiritual attack or attacks on our minds, in our thinking, in our thought life. And maybe we're running around, we're dashing around, we're trying to sort out things spiritually. And actually, sometimes we just need to sit down, have a meal, have a rest. And you know, sometimes our bodies have things built in, don't they, that give us some warning signs. Often some safety measures when we know that we are run down. Let's be honest as well. Those of us who have families, do you ever think sometimes our motivation for being physically healthy is for the sake of other people? Do you ever find that? We say, oh, it's important that I stay fit for the sake of my family, for the sake of those of us with kids. Kind of realize that there's some importance of, and that maybe is sometimes our motivation, but actually, perhaps even a greater motivation. Do you know that once you've chosen to follow Jesus, that you have a call of God on your life? Many of us have realized that actually God calls us to be people for him. Of course, that involves doing stuff, but actually the call is to be God's men and women on this planet. That's a pretty high calling. And I don't know about you, but my motivation sometimes, and do I get it right all the time? No. Do I make plenty of mistakes in terms of getting the right balance of being physically healthy? I can't remember what my question was. No, I don't get it right. Yes, I do get it wrong. Whichever question it was I was asking. But actually, if we are aware, it's this higher view that Eric was talking about again. If we are aware that God has called us to be his people here on earth, then it's kind of, well, ask the question the other way. Why wouldn't I want to make sure that I'm physically healthy? Why wouldn't I want to make sure that I am alert and fresh and strong and alive? How many people know that the day works out a little bit better if you've had a good night's sleep? How many people know that the day works out better if you've had some sleep? And I know for the things that God's called me to do, that sometimes staying up late isn't always a healthy thing to do. And some of you, if you get an email from me late in the night, that's just technology. I've got it set so that it can just go out. That's not quite true, actually. To be honest, sometimes, I'm speaking to myself this morning, sometimes it's not always a good thing to do to stay up late at night. And for the people who respond to those emails at that time in the morning, then let's agree that we'll pray for one another. So our body is a gift. You pleased with the gift of your body this morning? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is pretty high view of what our bodies are for. But finally, if we talked about the origin and the purpose, then the destination, where are we heading? Well, one day, your body, my body, will be resurrected by God. Did you know that as Christians, we have the most hope-filled, optimistic view of the body out of anyone on the planet? If Jesus doesn't return before our time finishes here on earth, then there is the promise of future resurrection. Many of us want long life now, and physical death will come, but it's not the end. We've sung about it this morning, because Jesus died, rose again, and triumphed over death. And right now, this morning, you may have pain in your body. And there's something in your body that you don't know what to do about it. Well, first of all, we can pray, and we will pray, and we've got an opportunity to pray this morning that God would bring his healing power into our lives. And of course, many of us have seen God's healing power work in our lives before, and we already mentioned it, but Friday night, In Pursuit of the Miraculous, it's a time when we will, as church, gather together to pray and to believe and to invite God to come and do something again in our lives as we pursue him in terms of the miraculous. And of course, one of those things as we pursue God for the miraculous is physical healing in our bodies. But there are certain things that happen. Some of us have noticed that we can't completely arrest the aging process in our lives. Anyone else notice that? There's certain things that my body doesn't do as well as it used to do a few years ago. One of them, sadly, is the volume of food I can eat. Anyone else found that? That's sad, isn't it? So now I only have 4 plates full of food rather than the 5 I used to have. But actually, we don't need to fear death. We have a glorious hope. And the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own. That's a pretty promising hope for the future, isn't it? We'll have bodies that will never decay. They'll never get tired. They'll never suffer pain. That's a pretty good advert, isn't it, for your future glorious resurrected body. And what we'll see is it's kind of like there's a seed of what our bodies will become in the next life. What we are now, the Bible talks about being a seed of what we will be like in the future. What a high view of our bodies. So if all of that is true, and I think we're all agreeing with that this morning, aren't we? Then how should we respond? Well, Romans 12 gives us the answer. Romans 12 verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your what? To offer your, well, sometimes we think in terms of worship and it's all about our spirits, don't we? But it says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Your body, is your true and proper worship. Have you noticed that? Some of us who've heard that Bible verse lots of times, were you tuned in before that this is how it's described, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice? And yes, it says that it should be holy and pleasing to God. And there are times, aren't there, where we know that we need to make some choices in terms of holiness and good and healthy choices. And we talked about some of the ways that we would want to free our spirits from things that are unhelpful, that are unhealthy, that are unwholesome in our lives. And maybe this morning we're aware of some things that if we don't have the high view of our body, there's times when we make choices which are unhelpful, aren't there, for our bodies. And actually, maybe this morning there are things where we're saying, well, actually, I need to align myself with the things that God wants for my body. And maybe there are things we need to repent and put right. Because what we want to do in our worship is we want to be holy and pleasing to God. And that's actually our motivation. Because there is a God who loves us, who wants the best for us, who wants us in every area of our life to be healthy, and this is a part of it. So healthy body is important. And just as we finish, one last scripture. If we ask the question, is there anything else that the Bible says in terms of physical health and how we respond? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, it says this: physical training is good, But training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. And of course, most of us, when we